So I don't have a sermon today. So last week, you know, Gabrielle did what she did, and the Lord kind of spoke and said, hey, why don't you speak? And then she leaned over to me and said, if you weren't here, I'm just doing a recap, quick recap. It's like highlight reel. And she said, I think the Lord wants me to speak tonight. I said, that sounds good to me. Felt like the Lord to me, so I said, let's do it. And how many of you know that was a phenomenal message last week? Amen? Yeah. But she said something. The Lord had her say something in that message that it just spurred something in me, and I just felt like the Lord said, okay, I want you to shift gears for next week. Because I already had the message for the Dead Men series. I had the final message prepared and ready to go. So it's sitting on the shelf right now. We may get to it, but not today. So when he told me that, I figured he'd give me a message this week to give to you. And he didn't. And I do think I hear from the Lord, okay? I believe I hear from him. I don't think it's anything where I wasn't hearing from him. It was like, I think he wanted me to just go with what he was putting in my heart at the moment. It was just a couple scriptures and this thought, okay? So what Gabrielle was, one of the things she said that really spurred that was, she said when she was talking about the Israelites in the desert, and we all know that they turned an 11-day journey into a 40-day journey, right? And so, and that happened because they were complaining, right? You know the word of God, it says that. So they were complaining, and she said that last week, I think one of the things I was talking with a couple people this week about it. I don't know about you, but I've been talking about this message throughout the week. And one of the things she said is they would, you know, the Lord would do something, and then, you know, just days later, we're going to die, you know. That's how Gabrielle did it, you know. And then, you know, and then the Lord would do something, and then a couple days later, we're going to die, you know. And I know that's funny, but it also hits home. Anybody else? You know, the Lord has done something in your life, and then a trial comes along, and you're like, how are we going to make it? We're going to die. How are we going to make it through this? How is this going to work out? And it's constantly this, the first instinct is constantly questioning God, okay? And for many believers, that's a pattern. It's a pattern in our lives. And I think, so through that, we've created this system. This is going to take a minute to get here, okay? But we've created this system where when we come together on Sundays, we've got it backwards, and we come together in our gathering time as the body of Christ. We come together to gather instead of bringing what we've gathered. Gabrielle said last week, she said, that, you know, what the Lord did during that time, he gave them manna 6 days a week, okay? And every morning they would wake up and there would be manna on the ground, and they would gather what they needed for that day. And they couldn't gather any extra. They couldn't hold over any. They didn't have refrigerators back then. So, but that's really not why they couldn't gather. The point of that was the Lord was saying, I'm going to give you what you need for this day, and you can't take any extra and hold it over till tomorrow, because if you do that, then you're relying on your own strength and your own provision and your own, you know, gathering abilities. And he's saying, I don't want you to rely on your own strength. I want you to count on me and rely on me. I want you to have faith in me. Okay? Because the reason that we stay in that pattern of every time a trial comes, we think we're going to die, and we throw our hands up, and we, you know, are like Chicken Little, the sky is falling, is because we've been in this pattern of trusting in our own abilities, in our own strength. You know, we tend to always have a plan B. And God doesn't want his followers to have a plan B. A plan B means that plan A might fall through. A plan B means that plan A may not be enough. A plan B means that plan A may be not trustworthy. Okay? And so we have a plan B in place, and the Lord's saying, if you're my followers, I'm plan A. And I'm enough. In fact, this is the way the Lord says it. I am. So the question is he? Is he enough? Is he all you need? You know? Or are we going to try to gather enough for the next day? And so the Lord did 6 days. They would gather enough for that day, and then they would have enough to eat, plenty for their whole family. And then the next day they would wake up and they would gather again. And what was he doing? He was building, right? Line upon line, precept upon precept. He was building something in their hearts. They thought it was just food. They thought it was just earthly food. They thought it was just physical food. They thought it was just to nourish their bodies, but it was doing far more than that. It was doing something far greater than that. It was nourishing their spirit. It was filling their spirit. They were being built up in the faith. And so they couldn't gather on the final day. On the seventh day, there wasn't anything. He said, on the sixth day, you gather enough for today and tomorrow. Because on that day, on the Sabbath day, you're not going to gather. You're just going to bring what you have and come together. So where do I go with this? Well, there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Very familiar scripture. It says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. This is a very short, simple scripture, and this is what this scripture means. It means we, as the body of Christ, must come together and not neglect coming together. Why? There's a purpose in us coming together. What is the purpose? Well, I'm going to get to that in just a moment, and I'm going to get to what it has become in the church and a lot of churches, and it's wrong, it shouldn't be, but it's what it's become, and I want to get to where the root is and what it should be, okay? But our coming together is non-negotiable. Amen? That scripture, and let us not neglect our meeting together. Don't neglect it. Don't forsake it. Right? Come together. So why do people have trouble doing this? Why do people have trouble coming together? I, as 30 years as a minister, I have talked to a lot of people about this, okay? And there's a lot of thoughts out there. There's some people that say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, okay? And I do believe you don't have to go to church to give your heart to the Lord, okay? But I believe you need to go to church or meet together with the body of Christ to stay there. Okay? I believe it with all my heart. You cannot do this alone. You can't be a lone ranger out there. You can't do it alone. And I'm not going to get into all the scriptures that point us to that, but there's many out there. When you're talking about the body of Christ, there's many scriptures about the body of Christ that say we need each other. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. Right? Just try for a second losing both your feet and see how you walk. Or just try losing one of your eyes and see what happens and how it changes your vision. Or lose hearing. Our son-in-law Dylan, several months ago, lost hearing in one ear, just sudden hearing loss. And he's completely deaf in one ear right now. We're knowing and believing that the Lord's going to restore that. But he's a young man, and it just went away like that, and it drastically changed things for him. In fact, for a while, he just laid in bed because his equilibrium was off, and everything was spinning. He had vertigo because immediately hearing was gone in one ear. And we don't understand or see that because we don't experience it. But if anybody experienced something like that, okay, and you know immediately how it changes things, And your body has to learn how to adjust, and there's this adjustment period. But that doesn't mean we can go along without both ears. That doesn't mean it's ideal. In fact, we'll never be the same if we don't have both. God didn't make a mistake when he gave us two ears, or two eyes, or two legs, or two arms, two hands. He didn't make a mistake. He knew what we needed, right, to function properly. In the same way with the spiritual body, with the body of Christ, we need each other. He's given us different functions, different purposes, different callings that help one another out, okay? And so meeting together, they all come together. It doesn't mean we only do this on Sundays, but there's part of this meeting together is all about the body coming together for a purpose of functioning and building one another up and encouraging one another and sharpening one another. That's what happens and takes place. Let me put it to you this way. Are you part of the body when you're not here on Sundays? Yes, you are, right? But you're not around this many of the body, right? Unless we're coming together for a gathering. You may see, you know, somebody throughout the week. I may see Rick, you know, sometime throughout the week, and hey, Rick, you know, and we talk and fellowship and, you know, pal it up and all that kind of stuff and sharp one another, but it's just two parts of the body. You can't just go, okay, that's all I need. Man, I feel that right now. I feel that right now. Okay? So watch Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Can I just stop right there? And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Okay? This is what I'm talking about. Coming together as the body of Christ and sharing everything we had. Now, I'm going to go on in the scripture, and it's going to show you something, and I'm going to just let you see this, but I'm going to talk spiritually for a moment about this. But then it says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Oh, wait, I skipped a verse. Didn't I? What did I skip? There you go. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Leave that one up there for a second. So what if the Lord, I'm not saying he's going to, so just chill for a minute. Everybody's already getting nervous right now. I can see it. I can feel it. You're getting nervous already. Oh, Pastor Bill's about to go off in some stuff I don't believe in. What if the Lord told you to do that physically? I'm not talking spiritually. What if the Lord told you to do that, to sell all your property and possessions and share the money with those in need? How many would be honest with me in this place right now and say, that'd be really difficult for me? That'd be really difficult. I mean, hold on, because I raised my hand too, all right? But I saw some hands not go up. I'm saying sold all your property and all your possessions, everything you had, sold it all and gave the money to those in need. How many would say that'd be hard for me right now? I'd have to have. I've said this before. I've said things like this. Man, some of these things, I need God to come down in person. Right? Sit down with me. And explain some things. I need him to explain some things about this. I need to hear from him. Right? That's a tough one. This is what the early church did. Everything I just read, that's what the early church did. Now, was that a mistake? No. It's exactly how God designed it. It's exactly what he wanted. I think we have to see some things like they saw things, though. They just experienced something so supernatural. They experienced not only this freedom that we were talking about that we've all experienced in the Lord. You know, Caden, you just experienced today this, you know, you gave your heart to the Lord and you could feel that. You could feel this burden being lifted off of you. You could feel this, and it just gets better and better as far as that feeling of freedom, right? As long as we don't let the enemy take us back. And so you're like, oh. But then they all of a sudden start experiencing all this in the body of Christ. This fellowship, this oneness, this unity, this we're in this together. And this supernatural thing was happening that they were just, earthly things don't matter anymore. Earthly possessions don't matter anymore. They realized they had this understanding that that's not what this is about. This life is not about that. It's not about how many earthly possessions you can gain. It's not about saving up for a big retirement so you can have that house on the lake with the jet skis and all the fun stuff. It's not about that. That's not what this life is about. This life is about storing up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. This life is about storing up things there, not here. That's why the scriptures tell us to set our things, our eyes on things above, on heavenly things, but not on things of the earth. If our eyes are so focused and fixed right here, then we miss the whole point of what this life is about. And Jesus, when we accepted him as our Savior, what we were doing is we're surrendering our will to his. We're laying our will down to his and saying, I accept you, and I accept your word, every last bit of it. I'm not going to leave one scripture out. I believe the whole thing. All of it. And so, what happened in the church? I mean, these people lived together. They ate together. They spent every day together. Well, what happened was the enemy began to introduce another plan. He introduced another plan. You can have your cake and eat it too. Okay? You can have this freedom and this salvation and follow the Lord, but you don't have to give it all up. You don't have to sacrifice everything. You don't have to lay it all down. Okay? You can have that freedom and salvation, and you can have your plan as well. Amen? We know this. We know this. We've experienced it in our own lives. Okay, so what does that mean? I feel this uncomfortableness in the room right now because what the Lord wants us to do is he wants us to sacrifice all. He wants us to lay it all down. Our desires, our plans, our will, all of those things, and trust him completely. Trust that his plan is the best plan. Trust that he knows us better than we know ourselves. Trust that he has a better plan for us, that he'll take care of all of those things if we'll just trust him with it. But what he's not going to do is he's not going to merge his plan with yours. It doesn't mean he doesn't want to hear what you have to say. It doesn't mean that he wants you to be a robot. If he wanted robots, he would have created them. But he created you with a free will. And there's something supernaturally powerful about you laying down your free will and surrendering it to him completely. Does that make sense? Like, say, look, this is what I want to do. well, I'd really love to do this, and this is where I want to go, and this is what I... But when the Lord, when you accept him, you're saying, I'm making you Lord, King of my heart. That means you have absolute rule, absolute reign. Your way is the only way. Amen? And then what we do is we get in line with that and we say, okay, Lord, so what is your will? What do you want? How do you want that to look in my life? How do I live that out? And how do I fulfill this call that you placed in my life? And when we start doing that, then all of a sudden, all of these other things that we've been desiring, okay, the Lord takes care of that. I think many people would be surprised at how many things that they want and desire, the Lord would go, I can bring that into your life, but let me bring it in the way I want to bring it in. Because the way you're going to go about it, it's going to mess it all up. Right? Has anybody else besides me done the same thing? You're like, man, I want this, I feel this. I think the Lord's okay with it. I think he's okay with it. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to go about it anyway. I use a simple example of people before have talked to me about, man, I need a car. I need a car because mine broke down. Very simple, basic example. Mine broke down, I need a car. Okay. I've had this actually happen. And then I prayed about it with them. And then later in that same week, somebody came to me and said, hey, I got this car. I wanted to, you know, maybe give it to somebody. You know, it's beat up and everything, but it runs. You know, and I want to give it to somebody. And this actually happened. And I went to that person. I said, that's amazing, because somebody just told me they needed a car. And I went to that person. They're going, I don't know if I want that car. That's a true story. And I'm like, man, the Lord just provided just like that. Right? So if you go to Luke chapter 13, it's going to be on the screen. I don't have any of these in YouVersion or anything like that, but watch this. Luke 13 verse 10 says, one Sabbath day as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit, and she had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, dear woman, you are healed of your sickness. And he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. Isn't that awesome? Watch verse 14. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant. I'll say it this way. The pastor of the church, he's indignant that Jesus healed her on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. But the Lord replied, you hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox and your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out to water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released on the Sabbath? Okay, so what does this have to do with this? Well, getting to the whole point. I have been a part of the church, okay, for my whole life. Even though I got away from the Lord and got off into deep sin, okay, for a time, the Lord saved me. And then I became a minister and been a licensed minister for over 30 years. And so I've seen the functionings of the church. And I remember many years ago, Kim and I had conversation about, you know, what we were experiencing in the church. And we just felt dry and we felt like there's got to be more than this. There's got to be something more. And I was actually a minister on staff at a church at the time. And we had these conversations. You've heard me say this before. We've had these conversations where there has to be more than this. I want to see what was happening in the early days of the church. I want to see that kind of church. I want to see the Lord move in miracles and power and anointing. I want to see that happen. I want to see people running to the altars and giving their hearts to the Lord. I want to see what we see in here and what we read about in here, but there's a disconnect because what I see now doesn't look anything like what the early church looked like. And it's become very organized and very in order. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anything against order. There needs to be order in the church. Things do need to be done in orderly fashion, but the orderly fashion can become, the orderly fashion can turn into religion, rituals, traditions. It can turn into things that the enemy wanted it to turn into so that it stops and prevents the move of God. Is this making sense to you? And there's, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. He doesn't want us to be bound in this religious spirit that can show up in the church in the form of this order where our services are becoming shorter and shorter. Do you know on the Sabbath day in the early church, they gathered together all day long? And I'll go back before the early church. I'll go back to Nehemiah when they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem and all the exiles came back to Jerusalem. They read the word of God for 6 hours and then they worshiped the Lord for 6 hours. For 12 hours every day, that's what they were doing. And guess what happened? Revival took place in Jerusalem. And people started coming, the Bible says, from the north, south, east, and west. And provision was brought to Jerusalem because, why? Because they rebuilt the wall? No, it came because they devoted themselves to the Lord. Time wasn't an issue. And you know this. Boy, we go a little bit long, and I'm not talking just us, but church. We go a little bit long. Honestly, I think we're a little bit better. A little bit. But I might be biased. But we go a little bit long, and then people are like, oh, man, I got stuff to do. This is the day. This is the day. This is the Sabbath. This is the day to come together and love on one another and encourage one another and bring what we have gathered throughout the week together to celebrate the Lord and to lift him up. And I think we've gotten so orderly in the church and so that we're missing some things. Come here, Howard. Come here, buddy. Like this guy right here. Come on with me, man. This guy right here has got a testimony that's second to none. It's powerful. It's powerful. He's been a man of God for many, many years, but he was a man of the enemy for a long time. And he did the will of the enemy for years, and then the Lord miraculously saved him, and then he's got this powerful testimony. He talks about it all the time. Anybody ever heard Howard's testimony? Okay? Good man. Getting the word out there. But let me show you something. Let me have a young, Jacob, come here. I have a young guy. And let's have Victoria, come here for a second. Yeah, Victoria, come here. So these are young people in the Lord. Both of them gave their hearts to the Lord within the last couple of months. Actually, Howard, I want you right in the middle. I want you right in the middle. Watch this. So Howard has been serving the Lord for a long time. And these young people have just given their hearts to the Lord and have started this journey. And so there are times when we come together like this, because I would guess, I don't know, but I guess you probably never hung out with Victoria.
No, I missed that.
You missed that. What about Jacob? You ever hung out with Jacob? Okay, Jacob. No, okay. So let me just say it this way. What other opportunity does he have you know, throughout the week to make these connections, and they make these connections then when we gather together here. Amen? Amen? So don't get crazy on me, because I'm going to explain some things, but I'm not advocating, because we just come and we come and we sit in our seats, and that's one of the reasons why I do the thing in the middle where, hey, everybody just love on each other for a minute, talk to each other for a minute, right? And you guys do really good at that. In fact, sometimes I'm like, sit down. It's enough. But we come and sit in our seats, and we all face forward, and we sing the songs, and we get a little crazy, which is good. I like that. You know, we get excited for the Lord, which we should. But then we sit back down, we listen to the message. You know, we hope Pastor Bill's not long-winded like he is today. And then we, you know, get out of here. We fellowship a little bit before and after. But for the most part, we kind of do the same thing. And so Howard comes in. Because we're the body of Christ, and he knows his purpose and his function in the body of Christ, part of it is testimony, man. This guy, and he can tell you, and he can encourage you with that. And he talks about it all the time. And so he comes to Jacob, man, and he goes like this, and he grabs Jacob's arm like this. And when he's encouraging him, he's lifting up his arm. Oh, that's all right, I'll get it for you. And then he sees Victoria, and he does the same thing with her. He's encouraging her, and he's lifting up her arm like that. And if there are other people, get on that side over there. Rick, come on over on this side over here. There are other people, they're doing the same things, and grab his arm, okay? Now, this is a picture. Keep the arms up there for a moment, okay? This is a picture that you see when Moses. And Joshua and Caleb, all right, are on each side of Moses as he's doing battle, right? And he needed somebody. He could not keep his arms raised, but they came and they grabbed hold and held his arms up because they were there. Why? Because we're one body. But there will be times where we switch it up. Switch that up. Okay, switch that up. Just because you're young in the Lord doesn't mean that you can't also come alongside and hold another person up and encourage them. Okay? Just because this guy is old in the Lord, not as old as others I know, doesn't mean that you young people can't come alongside and give an encouraging word. Hold them up and say something to them that blesses their heart. Rich was saying it a couple of weeks ago. Where's Rich? He's here somewhere. Drum, is he? No, he's somewhere around here. Anyway, he's playing hooky. All right. Rich said, go ahead and put your arms down. Put your arms down. I know they're getting tired. Just stay there for a second. Rich said a couple weeks ago, he said that one young person said to Miss Georgia back here, you know, went to her and said, can I pray with you about something? They're new in the Lord. I don't know who it was, but whoever that was, if you're in this room, God bless you. That's amazing that you're doing that already. Amen. You are right on track with what the body of Christ should look like. Amen. And who we should be. It's not just about coming together and singing some songs and hearing the word of the Lord. It's about the body coming together on this day and bringing what we've gathered and encouraging one another with it, lifting one another up with it, saying a word to somebody, you know, giving what we've had throughout the week with the Lord. There's going to be times you come, Victoria, and you feel like, man, I don't have anything to share. But guess what? There will be a lot of other people that have something to share with you. Anybody else fail to gather sometimes? Come on, y'all. Anybody else failed to gather something from the Lord? Anybody go through those seasons where, man, you just didn't know if you could take another step or could make it another day? The Lord knows that, and that's why he gave you the body. He gave you the body so that those times, man, listen, I know there's been times that this man came to me and said, I just want to love on you. I just want to bless you. I just want to tell you I'm for you. I want to tell you that I got your back. I want to tell you that I'm going to hold your arms up. And I didn't tell him I needed that. He heard the Lord speak it to him Monday through Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday he came to me and gave the word of the Lord to me that I desperately needed. And we all need that at times. Who has had somebody in this body speak an encouraging word to them when they came here on a Sunday one time? Now look at the hands. Who in this place, and I want to see your hands, who in this place needed a word from somebody when they came on a Sunday? They just needed to hear the Lord. Amen. Every single one of us. There's not one of us that can say we came in here and didn't need an encouraging word, or didn't need somebody to say, I'm fighting with you. Didn't need somebody to say, man, I got your back. That is the body of Christ. And that is where the beauty is. Now grab each other's arms together. Hands, yeah, grab each other's hands and hold them up. And there'll be times we come in, man, where we're just one. You know, we're just one. One body, strong, fighting together, moving forward, loving one another, encouraging one another. Amen? And let me tell you, the enemy hates to see this. He absolutely hates it. He can't do anything about it, though. He can't stop us as long as we know that's what we're called to be. Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Love you, guys. So they devoted themselves to one another. They devoted themselves to one another. That's what the early church did. They gathered. They gathered and they brought it. They gathered and they brought it. They devoted themselves. They ate together. They spent time together. They ate together. They took the Lord's Supper together. And Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Remember me, is what he was saying. Remember me in your gatherings and your fellowships when you get together. Remember what you're fighting for. Remember what you're fighting for. I was counseling a couple. I do this all the time in marital counseling or premarital counseling or whatever, and I counsel about being one. You know, you shall leave your father and mother and come together and be one in marriage. How many married people we got in the place today? Okay, you're one with your spouse, right? And you have to, if you want a good marriage, if you want a solid marriage, you want a fruitful marriage, then you're going to both pursue the Lord with all of your heart. That's number one, right? But number two is you got to know who you're fighting. And I've said this many times. I'll use this illustration. Devin, come on up here. Use this illustration all the time. And a lot of times in marriage, we are fighting each other with the sword that God gave us to fight the enemy. And we'll fight. Hold on. Some of you didn't even understand what just was said there. What's that weapon? The word. The word. So a lot of times the Bible says that that the tongue is powerful. That words are powerful, right? Says that the tongue is a spark that can set a whole forest on fire. Said the tongue is like the rudder of a ship that can guide a large ship wherever it wants it to go. So words are powerful, and a lot of times in a marriage we'll fight each other with our words. But what the Lord wants us to do is pull out the sword and fight the enemy back to back with the word. Amen? You want a strong marriage? Get to this place where you know who you're fighting. You're fighting the enemy. You're not fighting each other. And as long as he can keep you focused on fighting one another, guess who you're not fighting? Him. Thank you. And so as the body of Christ, he's got us so focused on fighting one another, biting and devouring one another, gossiping about one another, hurting one another, that we've forgotten who we're fighting. We're fighting the enemy. And when we come together on Sundays like this, or Wednesday nights, I'm going to tell you something, Wednesday nights, y'all need to get out here. We are open on Wednesday nights, too, for service, by the way. If you're working, got it. But if you're just staying home, just to stay home, the body still comes together on Wednesday nights. So get here. Be a part of the body so that you can be lifted up and encouraged, and you can also lift up and encourage one another. So we can eat together. Amen? And we're going to do this today with communion together. But I'm talking about this morning when we were worshiping the Lord, we were, man, it was bread from heaven. Amen? Because he's a faithful and good father. And when we worship him, he just turns it around and pours it out on us. Doesn't he? How many of you have been worshiping the Lord? You're not worshiping 5 minutes and all of a sudden, man, you just feel the presence of God. You feel the glory of the Lord. It's just something happens inside of you. You just want to weep. You want to shout. You want to dance. You want to run. Amen? All right, so prepare your cups there. Take the wafer out. Pull back the lid for the juice. So this wafer represents the body of Christ. His body was abused, tortured, mutilated, broken, so that we don't have to be. I love saying it like that. Jesus took this, break it. Okay, don't eat it yet. He took this so you don't have to be. He was broken so you don't have to be broken. He was abused and bruised and beat up so you don't have to be. He took the punishment for us. So anytime the enemy tries to beat you up, remind him, my Savior, my Lord, took that for me. So would you just take the bread? Now I want you to just thank him. Father, thank you that you did this for me. Can you say that? Say that to him. Say, Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you that you were beaten for me, that you were scourged for me, that you were whipped for me. Father, thank you that you sent your son to do this for me. And then the cup represents the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus. Amen? The blood of Jesus doesn't just cover up your sin. It completely washes them away, takes them away. Gone. Gone. And his blood is powerful. The enemy hates the blood of Jesus because there's power in the blood. Amen? So, Father, thank you for giving us the blood of Jesus. Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood. Take the cup.